Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call operator. Welcome to the presentation of the results for Hera Group to December 31st, 2016. All participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be the chance for some Q&A. For assistance from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. And now I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Tommaso Tommasi di Vignano, Executive Chairman of Hera Group. You have the floor. Good afternoon, everybody. Here we are with the usual team, and following the Board of Directors meeting, as a way of illustrating the results, the press release of which you have already received. I will be commenting on the main results, which further prolong our positive track record. This year is our 15th anniversary, which means you are probably bored by the continuity in our results. And from this point of view, our presentation highlights a number of things. You certainly remember that the year had begun with a negative perspective because as of January 1st, we were facing a negative 48 million euro perspective, which was a challenge in terms of safeguarding the positive results of our track record. We worked fairly intensely on all possible items as far as increasing efficiency is concerned. We were able to post major results. We worked on cutting costs, and we also focused on growth with a number of different approaches. We had the contribution coming in from external transactions. But we also had opportunities we were able to obtain through tenders in a number of different sectors. And this is something I want to underline, which shows how competitive our company is becoming in a broader way compared to the typical approach we used to have to the market, stricto sensu. We were able to obtain a number of tenders, and this was very satisfactory, both in the regulated and non-regulated businesses, both in the organic growth of the business, and we were able to grow also externally, which means that once again, after the end of the year, our model was able to offset the losses which were due to regulatory effects, thanks to all of the other events I mentioned. Which means that if we look at the gross result of our EBITDA, if we look at it before the application of the WACC cut and before the expired incentive in the waste sector, again, if we look at our results from this point of view, we come up with an initial important element. The plus 80 million euros in EBITDA besides the years in which we broadened our perimeter, this year would have been a record year, which means that the 80 million euros in EBITDA growth have a very important result for the company. Also, if we look at the company's future. This company, in other words, is capable of achieving this type of growth. And as far as the EBITDA is concerned, if we remove the negative effects I mentioned earlier, in fact, if we look at the past 5 years, our EBITDA has grown on average by 7.3%, which is quite sizable. And In the past, when we used to be a little bit weaker in the bottom line, this year we were also able to grow as far as the net profit was concerned, with a plus 27 million euros. We doubled this figure over the past five years, and we had a 14.7 average growth rate. We also achieved a number of positive results in M&A, with four acquisitions, two in the market and two in the waste business. And these transactions also contributed to the good performance in 2016. These transactions are part of a growth process which has never stopped, and we always looked at the possibilities as far as M&A is concerned. And we are continuing to look for the best possible opportunities in this regard. We also had some important results as far as our financial soundness is concerned. The debt-to-EBITDA ratio is now below 2.8 times, with a value, a figure, which was our target for the end of the business plan years, which means that we are ahead of schedule as far as the debt-to-EBITDA ratio is concerned. These are all elements I'm sharing with you, which, as far as I'm concerned, confirm how sound the company is. This is above the expectations we had in our business plan, and they also give excellent visibility as far as our future is concerned. Moving on to page 3 in the presentation, we can go over how our EBITDA was built in 2016. I was mentioning the fact that organic growth played the lion's share, with a contribution worth 66 million euros, with contribution coming from a growth in networks with a plus 27 million euros stemming from our increased efficiencies projects. The waste business contributed with a further 5 million euros, which is even more impressive if you take into account that in 2016 we had a very lengthy process for the authorization and the works in our main landfills. All of this has been concluded for the most part. We have a limited number of remaining things to complete in 2017, but the most difficult year was 2016, in fact, because this is a phenomenon which was pretty much concentrated in 2016. As far as energy is concerned, we had a very sizable contribution with a plus 35 million euro growth. It was better than the other sectors. It may have been favored by a few specificities in 2016 in terms of the electricity market, but this is also an element which was very consistent with our expectations also for 2017 and 2018, because as we mentioned when we illustrated the business plan, we mentioned some important tenders that we had been awarded, the effects of which are beginning to become effective in 2017. So these are the sectors that benefited from our actions. Plus, we also had two other transactions which you're familiar with, which happened in early 2017, which means that we focused on everything as far as we're concerned. We focused on organic growth, we focused on acquisitions. All we're waiting for is for the finalization of the Madea decree, which we feel will be a major way of pushing mergers forward, especially between multi-utility companies. I'll now leave the floor to Stefano, who will be giving us an in-depth view of the waste business and the other sectors, before we give the floor to Mr. Moroni for an overview of our financial performance. Thank you and good afternoon. This is Stefano Vernier speaking. This part of the presentation is titled More with Less, and it is the summary of what we were able to achieve this year by using less resources, because as you'll be seeing, the company capital invested is stable in 2016. It is at the same level we had in 2015. Also thanks to the optimization on working capital, which we will be illustrating better later on. Beginning with the waste business on page 4, we obtained the same result in 2015, which is quite important from a number of different points of view. First of all, because we have the combined effect of the expired CHIP 6 in Putsili halfway through the year, the review of the green certificates, and the first 9 months of the year in which the price of electricity was lower compared to the previous year, all of this had an impact on the business worth 16.7 million euros. We had to offset all this in a number of ways, through increased efficiency, of course, which was worth roughly 8 to 9 million euros. We also had contribution, a contribution from the market. A number of times with you, we mentioned how prices were on the rise, a recovery which was consolidated throughout the year. We had an increase in prices worth a 2 to 3%, with a few exceptions, such as the dry and humid part of the waste, due to stabilization stemming from those areas in a crisis which had an increase in price worth up to 10 and even 15%. This obviously gave a positive push during the various quarters. Plus, we also had the difficult process for the authorization of the landfills. The first contribution came in beginning in August 2016 with the Ravenna landfill, and this partly marked the positive results we posted in the second half of the year, also compared to the previous year and also compared to the first half of 2016. Overall, volumes were positive for some 350K tons. These are referred to the special waste volumes exclusively because the volumes collected in, as far as urban waste, were exactly the same as the previous year. It was a minus 7,000 tons, so it's the same volumes. So the 350,000 tons in special waste also benefited from our broadened perimeter, especially waste recycling, that the acquisition we mentioned a number of times. The urban waste business was further developed in terms of sorted collection, and the use of landfills is now well below the EU target set for 2030, whereas the part of the business linked to recycling was above 56%, or rather sorted collection was above 56%. 94% is the percentage of the recovered waste, both in terms of recycled raw material and in recovered energy. An element, as far as 2017 is concerned, which is very closely connected to the business dynamics, is an element which will affect the coming months with the final execution of the acquisition of the Aliplast company, which will be happening early April following the antitrust authority authorization, which happened over the past 2 weeks. And I'm referring to the consolidation of the Aliplast company and the acquisition of the Tizeco company in Tuscany as a way of strengthening the position we started having with the acquisition of the waste recycling company. This is the context we're looking at, and our growth was marked positively at the end of the year by reaching the same result we had in 2015, by recovering the 2 to 3 million euros that we had been dragging on for the for most part of the year. On page 5, we have an overview of the regulated businesses. In this area, we were able to almost fully offset the WACC cut. We closed the year at 424 million with a minus 3 million euros, 4 million euros. In this case, we focused our efforts on increasing efficiency. And overall, as a group, we also posted in 2016 an increase in efficiency worth roughly 20 million euros, as we had achieved in 2015. More than 50% of this stems from the regulated side of the business, which means that the 10 or 11 million euros contributed to the to recovery by approximately 20 million euros. The other parts refer to the first ticket on the on our sales ability, which is only worth 2 million euros, although the performance was well above standards. Obviously, the deal we struck with the authority was a recognition every 6 months, which is 50% of what it would have been on a yearly basis. And for this year, we're expecting a value worth 5 million euros. And we had other components as far as energy distribution is concerned and district heating, in which we grew by 1.5 million euros compared to the previous year, thanks to efficiency and the network optimization. As far as the impact of the WACC cut is concerned, this is a topic you're familiar with. I don't have very much to add, except for the fact that as far as 2017 is concerned, we're continuing with our initiatives to promote innovation as a way of further improving our efficiency and improving effectiveness, which we hope to be able to achieve also vis-a-vis the new regulations on technical qualities, which were anticipated in the first consultation document by the authority over the past few weeks. On page 6, we have the details concerning the energy sector. In this sector, the year was much more exciting compared to the other businesses. The positive tone was one that we had already perceived in the first three quarters of the year, and the fourth quarter merely confirmed the same trend with a result which was much higher compared to the previous year. This is due to a number of elements that you are already familiar with, elements we had discussed in a number of other different contexts. Generally speaking, we had benefits stemming from the conditions on the French market in November and December, not so much because we had some production capacity that we could use, but more because we had some opportunities for interconnection with France, opportunities which turned out to be very interesting. As far as the growth is concerned, the M&A contribution was fairly modest, also because of the second of the two acquisitions made became executive only at the end of the year, meaning that the contribution was only partial, whereas within the 34 million euro growth, roughly 50% stems from trading activities and power gen, whereas the remaining 50% stems from the liberalized market, and it refers to increased customers, increased markets, because the gas default market was effective as of October 2016, the consequence of which is that we were able to post larger volumes. We already know what will happen in 2017. We've already discussed this a number of times. The new service period on the Salvaguardia market is now effective. We have already started to invoice our new customers as of March. As far as the underlying figures of the business is concerned, our customer base grew by a further 50,000 customers. We are now at 2.26 million customers. 2 weeks ago, in the first week of March, for the very first time, we reached 900,000 customers in the electricity market, and 17.5% of our customer base is now managed through our digital channels, and 16% of our customer base already receives a digital invoice. Of course, our target is to further expand investment in these sectors so as to obtain 25% of our customer base in 2020. These are all elements which further enrich the context we operate in, making the perspectives for the further for the upcoming 2 years even more interesting. Page 7 gives you an overview of the elements which allowed us to transfer most of our EBITDA growth down to the net profit. The cost of debt has been reduced to 3.7%. We still haven't fully expressed the benefits stemming from the last liability management transaction, which we concluded in October, which means that for this year, the cost will be further reduced down to 3.6%, whereas the tax rate has consolidated an almost two-point reduction compared to 2015, and it will be down to 33.5% in 2017. As you can see on the right-hand side of the page, we were able to achieve an increase in profit and even in EPS to almost 15%. Moving on to almost 14 euro cents per share. And the important result in terms of net profit also transfers to return on equity, which has reached 8.6% by improving results by almost 1% compared to the previous year. And that 1% improvement can also be recorded if we take into account the return on market cap, which moved from 4.8% to 5.6% this year. I'm referring to a capitalization worth 3.7 billion euros. As I was mentioning, the invested capital, the resources used are the same pretty much, 5.1 billion. This allows us to have a return on invested capital worth 8.9% in 2016. I'll conclude my part with an item which isn't so much focused on quantities or economics. The Board of Directors has been approving the sustainability budget and taking into account the fact that many investors are incorporating this approach in their assessments more and more, we felt it was important to give you an innovative overview. We also wanted to underline the more important elements of how our company operates vis-a-vis the various dimensions linked to sustainability. And page 8, as a matter of fact, underscores the fact that the company is committed to at least 10 of the 17 UN global targets. As far as the first three are concerned, focusing on resources and our commitment concerning the circular economy, you have a clear representation with two figures. On the one hand, we have the amount of waste recovered, both in terms of raw materials and in terms of energy, which is above 94%, and 64% of our packaging, which is recycled. You may remember that the target set by the EU is 65% in 2025, which means that we are almost 10 years ahead of schedule. As far as the use of resources is concerned, we take into account the water, which isn't invoiced vis-a-vis the networks, a parameter in which we are leaders on the Italian context. As far as the environmental issues linked to energy and resources are concerned, for the past 10 years, we comply with the carbon disclosure. We are one of four companies. This year, we have improved the company's carbon footprint by 10% in terms of energy generated. We have reduced the overall amount of greenhouse gas emissions by 10%. 70% is the amount of renewable energy produced, and minus 2.6% or 2.6% is the energy consumption rates we achieved over the past 3 years, which is the same amount of 4,300 families. Other dimensions are linked to the social aspects, to workers, and to our company's suppliers are explained in the last line with some examples of certain characteristics our company has. We have also determined that we're the first in Italy to apply this methodology, which was introduced by Michael Porter a few years ago. The portion of our profitability, which is the object of created shared value, and which corresponds to a clearly defined social response, or social need, excuse me. This is worth 300 million euros, which we have assessed, given all of the points illustrated on the left-hand side of the page. But this is yet another important element which has increased our awareness further on a number of aspects which are becoming increasingly important in the general context. I'll now give the floor to Luca, who will be giving you an overview of how we were able to achieve certain financial results, which is yet another element which characterizes 2016. Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. Page 9 gives you a very clear view of the fact that 2016 had no element out of place. Our company was an orchestra of sorts which was able to play in a very coordinated way because the results in terms of cash flows are quite obvious in the figures on the slide. We were able to produce 260 million euros in terms of free cash flow prior to the dividend payment and prior to the minor acquisitions we made in 2016. This was made possible thanks to an operational lever which was above 600 million euros and also thanks to an excellent management of net working capital. We already illustrated the good performance of the net working capital, the excellent efficiency we were able to achieve, especially in managing credit. And allow me to remind you of the fact that as far as the management of credit is concerned, especially all of the processes achieved maximum efficiency, especially invoicing processes, the management of the entire process, the active management of credits from origination to recovery with an unpaid ratio worth 1%. And only 2 or 3 years ago, we were at more than double that amount. We also achieved the safeguarded credits by recording all of those customers which cannot be disconnected, for whom our recovery activity was sent to the Cassa Conguagli, and at the end of the year we were anticipated an amount worth 64 to 65 million euros, which means that we were able to self-fund all of our investments, which were worth over 360 million euros, plus the funds, which for the most part cover post-mortem funds for roughly 35 million euros, which leaves us with 267 million euros, 144 million euros of which were used to pay dividends during the year, and besides roughly 20 million euros for smaller acquisitions, we were also able to reduce our debt by roughly 100 million euros. Our track record in terms of cash flow over the past years is exemplified by the graph with an average pondered growth, which is top level. we have gone above the 20% target in terms of cash flow to debt ratio, which was one of the targets we had set with our rating agencies. We are now at 22%. We are a few pips above 22%, and this leaves us with an excellent perspective as far as the credit merit is concerned. Well, I don't have much to add, as a matter of fact. My colleagues gave you an overview of all the main elements as far as year-end is concerned. And since we're also at the end of the three-year term of our board, I want to leave you with an overview on page 10, an overview which is represented by an image chosen by Mr. Hansen, a flower and its petals, which represent the past 3 years of results. We're on the eve of our General Assembly, which will be appointing the new board. And without going over any of the things we already mentioned, I believe that the key elements in these 2016 year-end results can be summarized in three different elements. First of all, we have the resilience of our model, also in terms of continuity. This is also something which makes us confident for the upcoming years. The second element refers to our ability to compete. We will be having tenders in all sectors. We are competitive even in the sectors which are regulated, traditionally speaking, which will also be subject to tenders. And therefore, the tenders we were able to obtain, which I mentioned earlier, are a good element which allows us to be competitive in all of our company's businesses. And finally, our growth in profit is also something which is useful as far as allowing our dividend to grow, which is something which, as you know, will be growing beginning next year, which opens up a new season. We were able to operate in a positive way without being stressed by the need to allow our dividend to increase, besides the fact that we paid over 400 million euros in dividends over the past years. This is something that our shareholders certainly appreciate. We want to confirm our working plan, within which, as you know, we have more than enough room to continue to grow externally, as you know. This is an element that we will continue to focus on, as you know, and you have the floor for any questions you may have. The Q&A session can begin now. Anybody wishing to ask a question can press star followed by one on their telephone. To leave the questions list, press star followed by two. And please ask your questions using your telephone and speaking slowly for simultaneous interpretation. Anybody wishing to ask a question can now press star followed by one. The first question is from the Italian conference channel by Javier Suarez Bellabanca. Good afternoon. I have three questions for you. The first goes back to a comment made by the chairman when he said that the debt target for 2020, which you announced in January, has already been reached. How should we interpret that comment? How should we interpret the fact that the company has been able to reach a net debt to EBITDA ratio worth 2.8 times? Can you comment what the company intends to do and if the 2020 targets are now a little bit too conservative? The second question given the growth posted by the company in 2016. You have a component stemming from savings and networks and growth and energy and waste. Can you help us understand whether or not this growth and energy is sustainable? Or will there be a setback in 2017? And as far as waste is concerned, have all of the authorizations been completed? And will this translate into a significant growth in 2017? And finally, my last question is on working capital. There has been a major improvement, which was already obvious at the end of the third quarter. What changes will there be in the net working capital in 2017? Well, as far as what we expect, what management expects as far as the debt to EBITDA ratio is concerned, we reached 2.8 times. As the chairman was saying, we have some resources available. Over 100 million euros have already been used for the Alipas transaction. This theoretically leaves us at a 2.9 time debt to EBITDA ratio. So we're using the resources to support our external growth in a very practical way. We use the money we generate, first of all. And then we'll also be looking at the opportunities we'll be having. Taking into account that the 2.8 times we expected to have at the end of the period also took into account the gas tenders, we have no reason to review that figure. It is consistent to what we have projected. And then, of course, the acquisitions will be happening depending on the acquisitions, or on the opportunities, rather. We outperformed our expectations, and we had the resources we expected to have, the ones we illustrated in the business plan. It is true that we have some savings. There will be other savings still. As we mentioned during the business plan presentation, we will be rationalizing our costs by some 80 million euros. We have already achieved an initial 25%. We still have a further 60 million euros, which we will be achieving through the innovation projects I mentioned earlier. And you were asking how sustainable the energy results are. There were some extraordinary results, but we will also be having the contribution from the Salvaguardia tender, which means that we can obtain that in 2017, and even more, as a matter of fact, according to our expectations. As far as waste is concerned, the business will be benefiting from the Alipas transaction. And as far as landfills are concerned, we began to use the Ravenna landfill last August, and we will be benefiting from that for the rest of the year. Plus, we also have the initial part of the Tremonti landfill, which will be used for the entire year. So, from that point of view, we will be having some positive contributions. And were the energy sector to hold, as far as price is concerned, we will be posting growth in that business. And as far as the networking capital is concerned, I'll leave the comment to Luca. As far as networking capital trends are concerned, we have two dynamics to look at. First of all, if we look at credits, and if we are to take into account the fact that the debt will remain stable, although we have to take into account that with the beginning of 2017, certain payment dynamics for commodities linked to certain platforms may have a shortened dilations, but we will continue to work as far as credit is concerned. In the business plan, we would like to go beyond or below 1% in terms of unpaid ratio, which we feel we'll be able to achieve within the business plan years. Therefore, we still have a few steps to take in that respect. Plus, we'll also have the volume effect linked to the tender we were awarded in the Salvaguardia market. As far as volumes are concerned, that will give us some 50 million euros of further credit or further working capital, which means that the dynamics should be fairly stable with a certain degree of growth in Salvaguardia credits, and also paying attention to the debt dynamics I was referring to. Although our hypothesis is that we will be having a fairly stable trend as far as net working capital is concerned. Thank you. The following question is by Enrico Bartoli, MainFirst. Good afternoon. I have a few questions for you. My first question concerns the gas business, which in Q4 had an EBITDA growth above 20%. Can you give us some further details in terms of the contributions to the growth stemming from both volumes and margins? And had there been an increase in margins? Will this be sustainable in 2017 as well? I also have a question concerning your debt, the trend you expect to see this year. From the qualitative point of view, I imagine there will be an improvement in operational terms. There will be an increase as far as CapEx is concerned. And based on what Mr. Murray was saying, net working capital will be stable. It makes sense, therefore, to imagine that the debt at the end of 2017 will be at the same level that we saw at year in 2016. And I have a third question. Can you give us the total amount of provisions included in your P&L of 2016, and what do you expect in terms of how that will evolve in 2017? As far as the gas margins are concerned, we had in the last quarter, we had almost 60 million further cubic meters in sales, which stemmed both from the thermal effects, but also from our management of the Salvaguardia service. This allowed us to record part of the improvement we mentioned earlier. Plus, we also had a certain degree of improvement in margins on some of our business customers. And last but not least, we also had some good transactions in trading. These were the main elements as far as Q4 is concerned. And as far as 2017 is concerned, at least three of these four elements will be present. And as far as volumes are concerned, obviously that depends on the thermal season. For the time being, we had an excellent month of January. February was slightly warmer. March was slightly warmer. But we aren't suffering in terms of volumes, generally speaking. Your second question referred to the cash flows. The debt-to-EBITDA ratio. We mentioned that the Aloplast transaction will lead us to a ratio worth 2.9 times. Our expectation is to reach year-end at that value, 2.9 times, unless we have further extraordinary transactions during the year. Given the opportunity, we will have these transactions, and that would change the outlook from that point of view. And I'll leave the floor to Luca to comment on provisions. As far as provisions are concerned in our P&L, we recorded some 30 million euros linked to the typical the crew provisions for landfills, post-mortem funds, and third-party benefits, and 70 million euros linked to the credit devaluation fund, which is very much continuous with what we did last year. And as far as 2017 is concerned, can we expect something similar, or will there be a reduction? We will be working in continuity. We will have to go over the dynamics concerning the Salvaguardia credits. For the time being, our hypothesis to have some further provisions. This is a very specific topic, of course. We'll have to be looking at the portfolio dynamics that we are taking over for the new territories we are working in. We'll have to be looking at the customers present within that specific portfolio because the customers have different risk levels, and therefore, depending on how the portfolio will be made up compared to our initial hypotheses in the budget, we will have to round up or round down these dynamics. We'll have clearer ideas later on during the year. The next question is by Stefano Gamberini, Equita FIM. Good evening, everybody. My first question is some further insight on the Cassa Conguagli reimbursement, the 360 million euros. What are they referred to? Are these the Salvaguardia credits which were closed in 2016, or is there a portion linked to the new year? Another element I wanted to understand is whether or not in the energy business, so we can already have the contribution in the gas sector from EBITDA and electricity and EBITDA. And in the networks part, electricity, has there been a one-off linked to the change in time lag, and how much was it in 2016, of course? I also have a couple of questions on future developments, M&A and acquisitions. First of all, is there any news as far as the competences of the national authorities as far as the waste business is concerned? Can there be a speeding up on the process? And secondly, do you have a comment to make on Maggior Tutela sector? On whether or not certain customers will be auctioned off. Do you have any updates on that? Thank you. I'll begin with your last question to give you an answer on the Madia decree. In terms of a tangible effects, I can't say very much. Because I don't want to bring bad luck. But from what I know, a solution has been reached by the Ministry of the Environment and the Ministry of Industry. And the Parliament should be approving the decree by late May. But as we already mentioned, this isn't limited to the creation of the authority, which is very important, of course. Were we to look at the situation prior to the authority in the water sector, of course, we would have a completely different picture. And waste is even more important compared to the waste sector. So I think that giving the competences for the waste sector to the authority is key, of course, but there's another article in the same decree which has to be approved, which is key for the tenders. Currently, the waste concessions have expired for quite some time, and they have been extended by the regional government because we still don't have the rules for the tenders. And in order to draft the rules for the tenders, one of the first things which has to be done is to set the catchment areas, the territories for the tenders. if the tenders aren't amended, as is envisioned by the Madea decree, we will continue to have a very fragmented sector. Whereas, were the geographical scope of the catchment areas for the waste business to be based on provinces, of course, that would bring about a number of mergers, which would organize the sector, solving many of its difficulties. And it would reduce the in-house solutions, which would block any possible mergers. So the second comma included in the Madea decree, following the one pertaining to the national authority, is just as important if we look at it from this point of view. Let me answer your other questions. You asked what the impact on networks is due to the time lag. That's worth roughly 10 million euros. And this is what we also shared with the auditors, and it refers to the current figures. It doesn't refer to any recoveries from previous years. So it only refers to 2016, 10 million euros. And the proportions refer to the RAB, roughly 50% in water and the remaining 50% in gas and energy. How is the energy result split? Out of the 240 million euros, 150 million refer to gas and a part of heat management. The remaining part, 90 million euros, refers to energy. You were asking about the Casa Conguagli mechanism. Basically, all of the salvaguardia credits, which are classified as referring to non-disconnectable clients, such as hospitals, for instance, or prisons, or fire brigade facilities, these are all guaranteed by the former Casa Conguaglio. Every 2 years, we do the figures and we are reimbursed of the non-cashed-in credits. The ones we cashed in at the end of December refer to 2015. We have nothing as far as 2017 is concerned. We're still missing the final figures for 2016. That's something that we cover every 2 years. And then the Maggior Tutela market. This isn't a debate I'm particularly interested in. I don't think that auctions are an appropriate tool. I do not appreciate this kind of solution. It doesn't interest me because the overall amount of my customers, as far as Maggior Tutela are concerned, are 180,000 out of a total number of 900,000 customers we have in our portfolio. And we have the facilities, the structures, and the ability to invoice and manage this market. I don't think the auctions are the right tool. Again, also given the goal. But of course, if the auctions will happen, we will take part in the auctions. We are well equipped. I think it can only be positive given the conditions we currently have. Just a quick follow-up on Casa Conguagli. You have cashed in the 65 million euros in 2015. And what about the provisions made? Don't you think they're, or are they not excessive vis-a-vis the increase of bad credits you had over the past 2 years? The Salvaguardia market is made up of non-disconnectable clients and disconnectable clients. The former belong to the public administration, the latter refer to the business market, and provisions are basically linked to the disconnectable business customers. Thank you very much. The next question is by Maris Tunin in Intesa San Paolo. Good afternoon. Can you give us a breakdown of the network's business unit, gas, electricity, and water? And as far as water is concerned, you were mentioning the recognition of premiums. Can you give us an indication of the premiums for 2017, also including the technical side of things with reference to the recent document? And my other question refers to PowerGen. Can you give us an idea of a one-off element which may have an impact on MSD, for instance? Do you have any ancillary services which may emerge over the next year? And the last question is, can you give us a breakdown of National Judges? You also mentioned the companies and equity. Can you give us details as far as this point is concerned? The networks breakdown, first of all. Networks have a 424 million euro results. 230 refer to water, 138 refer to gas distribution, and 57 refer to electricity and district heating. This is the breakdown of our margins. As far as the quality of technical service is concerned, we won't have effects on 2017 since the process of the consultation document up to the final deliberation will cover the entire year, which means that in the best possible scenario, we will have an application beginning on January 1st, 2018. I cannot make any forecasts to date concerning the parameters mentioned in the consultation document, although none of these is of concern to us. The third question refers to the MSD component vis-a-vis the previous year. The contribution of MSD was 10 million euros more in the first semester of the year. So it's it isn't an especially sizable amount. And as far as the contribution stemming from the companies we have a stake in, I'll leave it to Luca. Our financial management is at 117 million euros vis-a-vis 134 last year. 10 or 12 million euros refer to profits stemming from our joint ventures. 16, 17 million euros stem from the IAS accounting principles. The remaining part refers to pure financial management, which also includes the cost of debt and all of the other costs referring to other types of financial burdens. A final question. What do you expect in terms of the contribution stemming from landfills, especially the second landfill which was opened following the one in Ravenna, the one in Imola? If your question is, how much we expect to recover this year, I'd have to go look for the figures. What I can say is that the three landfills envisaged by the regional waste plan, the three landfills to be maintained over time, one and a half are the ones which are currently operational, the ones Mr. Vanier referred to. The other two are being worked on to broaden them so that we can go back to a level of a complete security. We would have to complete the authorization and the works in at least one of these two. But if your question refers to the need for landfills we currently have, the one and a half landfills we currently use are enough. We don't have to turn any waste away. And take into account that as far as urban waste is concerned, the amount of urban waste disposed of at landfills is on the decline. We use landfills more for special waste. I don't have the correct figures. If you do want the figures, we can let you know tomorrow. Plus, you also have to take into account that 2 years ago, we acquired two further landfills for the Veneto region. In that part of the country, we only had two waste-to-energy plants and no landfills. So that was what Achegas had, which means that currently we have two further landfills in the Veneto area as well. Thank you. The following question is a follow-up by Enrico Bali, Maine First. A couple of follow-up questions. Can the chairman update us on your discussions with other multi-utilities as far as M&A is concerned? Is the situation similar to the one in January, or has it been an evolution of sorts? And the second question is on the gas tenders. Do you have any news on the timing for the tenders in the areas you are involved in? As far as the tenders are concerned, the timing update is the following. What we expect is that over the next 2 months, a couple of these calls for tenders will be published. There is a topic which is being discussed. It's a very technical discussion I don't want to bore you with on the rights to remuneration for the assets companies, which has an impact in one of these two tenders, which means that we are waiting for further clarification from the Ministry of Economic Development. Without which the tender will be published anyway. So over the next 2 months, a couple of tenders will be started, and the rest will follow. I think two will be happening, a further couple will be happening within the end of the year. As far as M&A is concerned, compared to what we discussed last time we met, two things happened. In January 2017, we concluded two transactions in Tuscany, both of which refer to the waste business. The authorization has been completed and everything. We also concluded the Aliplast transaction, which received the authorization from the antitrust body. And one of our representatives is also in the Aliplast board of directors and will be completing the transaction by April. This is what happened. And these are two opportunities in the waste business, which is proof of what I was mentioning concerning the regulatory contents, referring to the Madia decree. In the sector, we have a huge number of companies and also a huge number of opportunities on the market side of things from private companies. These were opportunities we were able to seas, both in 2016 and in 2017, as a way of choosing the things we liked most, and also by discussing things quickly with counterparts interested in selling. As far as public owners are concerned, without the Madea decree, there would be no pressure on these public owners to merge or to sell to larger companies. That's why we feel that it would be very useful indeed to complete the approval of the decree and the implementation of the decree. Everything else is linked to what I was just mentioning. Multi-utilities can also be involved in the waste sector, and if they don't see any possible evolution in the regulatory context, they will simply wait and see what will happen. We've seen this happen very close to us, even within us. But despite all this, we will continue to work. Whenever we draft a business plan, we draft the business plan so that we can achieve our targets. And you've seen proof of this time and time again. In the business plan, we expect to complete some M&A. We have the resources to do this and to deal with these opportunities. It's important for M&A to happen. And we will be focusing either on acquisitions and on other transactions, and we're sure we'll be able to achieve the targets in the business plan. For any questions you may have, press star followed by one on your telephone. Mr. Tomasi Di Vignano, gentlemen, for the time being, there are no further questions. Thank you. Goodbye. And we will be seeing you soon. The Q1 presentation will be happening in mid-May. Thank you very much.